on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion tonight about men as victims of domestic violence. This conversation is actually a preview of the 5th annual Men Hurt Too panel. Mm-hmm. That's the Men Hurt Too panel. It's a discussion coming up this Friday, June 16th, starts at about 6 o'clock, 830 Ridge Road in Southeast Washington, D.C. My guests are Queen Afi Gaston. She is a founder of Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags, Clarence Miles, a victim of domestic violence and founder of Uniting Our Youth, and Marquette Brown. He's a youth advocate and victim of domestic violence. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone lines. Joe, calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Good evening. Thanks for accepting my call.
Sure thing.
I just had a comment to make, and the comment was: I believe on this subject we need to re-educate men and women, boys and girls. I grew up in a culture, and the culture stated that there's no reason to hit a woman. So women have always, not women, all women, but some women have had the idea that they can hit a man and not receive any retaliation. I think that we need to educate men and women, boys and girls, to the fact that there's no need to put your hands on or to express violence toward any human being, male or female, unless you are defending yourself. So that's really my comment. We need to re-educate both sexes and get rid of the macho culture that I was raised in, that you ought to just take any type of treatment, verbal or physical, from the opposite sex without for any form of retaliation.
Okay, Joe, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Queen, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yes, you have to be versatile in the conversation. I think that's what we're missing. That's why domestic violence has not ended, because we're not versatile in the conversation. We're only catering to women that are victims of domestic violence, which is true, but also men are victims of domestic violence as well. So just in that household where you have children, girls are growing up in that household, boys are growing up in that household. So both are equally seeing domestic violence. OK, you got programs. Who's going to program the young girl? But where's the programs for the young boy?
Yes.
Oftentimes the young boys are left out of the programming part. So 9 times out of 10, you know, if you're a girl or a woman out here dating or whatever, you probably may going to end up with someone who is the victim of domestic violence.
Interesting. And here's something, Clarence, and I want you to think about this. Joe made an interesting point when he was talking about, you know, the macho culture, mm-hmm. which is not to necessarily be confused with masculinity.
Right.
There's a difference. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, by abuse,
mm-hmm.
and I always keep talking about it's two sides of the abuse, is that I had a young lady that I was going with. Again, I had a young lady that was 18 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So she was also 18 years older than the young lady I was with.
Hmm.
I abused the young lady that I was with, and the older lady was abusing me.
Mm-hmm.
One day, the young lady stabbed me in my back because I was dealing with the older lady.
Literally stabbed
Literally
you.
Stabbed me in my back.
Okay.
And I still went back to the young lady, and I still stayed with the older lady. One day, the young lady came, and she had a gun. She pulled the trigger in my face. Just so happened, it wasn't no bullets in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking about abuse from both ends. All of us is being abused at the same time. It really don't have nothing to do about how old I am, how strong I am. Mental abuse don't come in strength.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes. And it's a lot of times we be the last to know that the abuse is here. This is why we are talking about it now. Because a lot of times we can't even recognize the abuse because our feelings towards the abuser. And guess what? It happens both ways.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Herbert, calling from Manassas, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, what's on my mind? First of all, hey, Queen, how you doing?
Peace and love.
Second of all, the thing I want to talk about is domestic violence where, let's say, women use kids mm-hmm. to manipulate men.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do this. You don't get to see your kid. You don't do that. You don't get to see your kid. The next thing you know, here's the smack. You were the dummy. You illiterate. Things of that nature. And then when the police come out, the first thing they say, well, he assaulted me. But the man is bleeding. The man got a scar on him. But the police say, take her in the house. Let me talk to you. Next thing you know, you come out there, you got handcuffs on you. Because
Queen,
they always look at the man.
Yeah, Herbert, you make a really important point. Queen, how should men, under these difficult circumstances, address the physical abuse that at the hands of a woman? Because it goes back to what Joe said in the call earlier, that boys are raised not to hit girls. You're raised not to hit women. If you involve yourself with a woman who is physically abusive, is it the same kind of situation that women deal with?
Yes, it is the same, abuse, of course. The behavior does not change. Victim behavior, abuser behavior does not change. Women can do it. Men can do it. And in the case with men have to collect their evidence. You got to have the pictures. You have to save your text messages. You have to save your emails. You have to make sure that when it's all said and done, look, officer, I have my evidence right here to show you that I made the call to get help. See, because men are trained, the police force is trained by the Violence Against Women Act. So, of course, they're going to come out in a woman's favor first anyway.
And also, okay, there we go. I don't know. We had some kind of technical difficulty there. Like we were saying, we had women are the lion's share of victims. Mm-hmm. And so obviously when you're dealing with law enforcement, they often, support the women. Mm-hmm. But I think the piece about having evidence and making sure that you have all of your information available is the best way to go. Herbert, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Kelly calling from Clinton. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, how you doing? Am I on?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, sir? This is Kelly. I just wanted to say this, and I wanted to piggyback on what the previous caller said, as well as what Queen said. I'm a facilitator of domestic violence classes.
Kelly, for those who are not initiated to that?
Meaning I'm a counselor, so after they go through the criminal justice system, especially in the District of Columbia, let alone the DMV, they come to domestic violence classes, and a lot of times, when we discuss domestic violence, we do it in what we call a dyad. So you have a male and a female facilitator. And when those facilitators get in this room, we're supposed to talk to the men and the women as it relates to how to use alternative strategies to deal with your conflicts. But what happens a lot of times in these classes, the women come in there and the facilitators talk to these women. And the women are still seen as batterers, victims reacting to domestic violence from the men. And I think what needs to happen a lot of times in these groups, that the women have to understand that, look, you are still a batterer. You are still a perpetrator of domestic violence. Until we get to the core of what causes this victimization, we're not going to get no further in this world, and especially as it pertains to domestic violence. So I would say this, and I want to ask Queen this. When she says she's had contact with these men and that these men are actually victims of DV, when we say DV, I mean domestic violence, how was she able to find out, when she was dating these men, were these men easy marks? Because most men will listen to this program and say, I would never be a victim of domestic violence.
That's a really fascinating question. Did you see them coming before?
Absolutely. The abuser, we know who we want. We know who our victims are.
So what do you see? What is it that you see?
We coerce our victims to talk. And when our victims share their stories, we know that, hey, he needs a mom or he needs love. Because people will say, the potential victim will say, I've been looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, that's bait to the abuser.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they may say, well, I never had a relationship with my mother. I was abandoned, and my family, they gave up on me. Well, I'm going to be your family. I'm going to be your mother.
And what I can say is, for me, Marquette Brown, I remember at 17, I got into some problems. I actually got incarcerated. And I had already had, like, a legal guardian to kind of aid that. When I became an adult, it was, you know, what's that level of comfort when I kind of grow into my own? They're like, hey, you know, you got to build your own family. So what exactly is that like for some gentlemen who come from incarceration to home and really didn't have that family oriented? Like, well, you got to find it. And then when you engage with some of these young women, like they're saying, well, we've always learned it's kind of like these hazard signs, these signs that show you, you know, kind of like when you communicate, you put these pieces out there to see if they'll respond, you know, to see if they'll take heed to it. Because some of these young gentlemen are actually conscious. They like, man, look, so that, you know, I got to be mindful. I'm trying to overcome. If I'm going through the judicial problem, if I have a problem with my family, look, I'm going through these points. I will kind of want to make it easy. Don't want to do too much. Sometimes females, just because it's not that they're always intent, just kind of traditional, cultural. And then they just break into where these circumstances start to happen. And even one of them sometimes really know how to cope with how it's going about. The female may be over aggressive. The dude might not have even had to live with a female at certain points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, adolescents, some dudes coming home at 18, 19, 20, been incarcerated since 14, 15, 16, don't have that level
true.
Of social.
Kelly, that was a fascinating question. And to piggyback on that before I let you go. So, Queen, if you see, if a female abuser sees another guy coming and he is secure, maybe did have a great family, is she less likely to involve herself with him, or is she or will she still try him, or will she just, you know, leave it alone?
It's based on my time. You know, it's more of a challenge if you come from a good background or upbringing. So it's based on the time I have, you know, because one victim has at least five. I'm sorry, one abuser, I think, has at least five victims at one time. So based on my time, it could be a challenge. I may go for it, or I may just cut them loose.
Kelly, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ivan, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Well, I am a victim of domestic violence. Like I said, I was emotionally abused. My ex-wife would always accuse me of running around on her, which I wasn't. Running or doing something I shouldn't be doing, I wasn't. In 2011, she had me arrested for a crime for domestic violence, saying that I had a gun. Well, basically, when the police locked me up, they, of course, no disrespect, and I respect women. But women's words are dangerous, because what she said I was doing, none of it was true, because they found out in the court she lied, her daughter lied, her daughter's boyfriend lied. And, you know, for that abuse, and even after that, you know, constantly abused, she had me ran out the church. My mother was murdered in 05. She gave me some antique glassware and chinaware. And when we divorced, she told the judge, he got it already. You know, stuff that I treasured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, and it's just really sad. When, you know, domestic violence is, you know, even to this day, I'm still suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what she put me through. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I have a lot of people even believing the lies that she has told. So it's domestic. I mean, it really can tear you up physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, I've gone through therapy. I've gone through counseling to be a, you know, stronger person. But like I said, you know, when it's an emotional thing, it can really hurt you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ivan, for sharing that with us. And obviously this can have some long-term impact on your life. So we certainly appreciate you speaking with us. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Charles calling from Maryland. And if you still want to get in on this conversation, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about men as victims of domestic violence. Of course, this is a preview of the 5th annual Men Hurt 2 panel discussion that's coming up this Friday, June 16th, 830 Ridge Road, Southeast D.C. That's at the Ridge Road Community Center. It starts, they open the doors at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. So certainly this is open to the public. If you have an interest or concern about this issue, certainly you can join the members of that panel and hopefully get some support or learn something about this very critical issue. Let me go back to the phone lines. Charles calling from Maryland. Charles, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good Yeah, I got a situation.
Go ahead.
Where I had a long marriage. Everything was okay until the mother-in-law got in the way, family got in the way. We separated. I tried to stay in touch with my kids. But the friend I'm with now, every time I turn around, it's something.
What do you mean it's something? What do you mean by that?
I mean, you're accusing me of cheating. And I find my clothes walk out the door. And you say you don't know nothing about it. But then I confront you with it. You want to argue with me. Maybe you left it somewhere. How am I going to leave somewhere and I've been here with you? You know, you go out of town, disappear. Don't leave no place where you're going. You're out of town, call you on your phone. You don't answer.
So this, and you're talking about your significant other?
Right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, and then turns around, you want to accuse me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think that goes to, I think, the heart of that emotional abuse that we were talking about. So, you know, with that said, for people like Charles, what should he do? Are you two financially connected as well? I mean, can you leave?
Mm-hmm. Or do you want to leave?
Excellent point. Excellent point, Clarence.
Okay. I wish we could. I would love for us to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
To work through your stuff, because, you know, she's telling me she's been battered before. And the thing is, I went to the end of the road with her and came back with her.
Okay.
Twice. You know, and nothing I would do for her. But it's like a game. You're playing a head game with me, in a sense. I mean, I was financially stable at first until, you know, a little situation happened. I had to make some changes. But I said, hey, I'm gonna stick it out with you. But stop beating up on me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be bitter with me with the communication with my children and my ex.
Okay.
You know, you always say things like, I guess you're going to go get some.
Hmm.
It ain't that kind of party.
Yeah. Let me see what Clarence has to say about that. Clarence, you seem somewhat familiar with.
Well, it seems like that the situation that you're in is something that you really want to be in. You know, I know there's a way out, and there's timing and about everything. But also, when you help create and add on to the situation, because I hear you say, well, I want to see if I can work it out, or I really like it because of the kids, or you keep playing games, and I left twice, and I came back again. But at the day, you're still there, and you want to know what the next move is, and then you ask us, well, how can we help you? So if you want some help, Friday, we will be on 6:30.
6 o'clock p.m. at Ridge Road Community Center. You can come out and, you know, of course, get you some more support. But I'm a woman who abused men. And so I know exactly what your significant other is doing. She's playing emotional games, you know, because I can, because you're still there. And because you choose to come back. And it's not victim blaming. It's just the truth. You had to find a way where you can start seeing this woman for who she really is, which could be your potential abuser.
Quit closing your eyes.
And really start to step up and give a little more, like, attentive reaction to what it is that you see. Listen, you know, and place yourself in a point, because it seems as if she's putting that blanket out there like she's trying to play that blame game. Hey, I actually really am here doing these things, and I do this just to make it that comfortable, to have you so riled up that it's easy for me to make my next escape.
It is. You know,
so be mindful of that, because sometimes those are just escape blankets to be able to get you all riled up. Say, hey, look, I'm lost and I want to find it. Say, you know what, go ahead, think about that. Think hard about it.
Throw something in there too. The other point is that, you know, she's broken. You may know her story. You think that you can help her. You know, you think your love is strong enough to help her, and it's not. She needs her own individual therapy and counseling and stuff aside from a relationship. Right now, it sounds like she's not relationship qualified.
And she's breaking you down at the same time.
And she's bringing you down at the same time because you keep saying, I want to work it out. I want to work it out. I want to work it out. One of those times, you're not going to make it back.
And actually, and sometimes it's just you really caring about her well-being. You really care about her. She is another person. You know, all of the different things she has to go through financially, mentally. You know, hey, look, I'm lost. I'm broken. And you're still there through the calls when she's not even there with you.
Mm-hmm. Charles, thank you.
Her body could be there as her body could be there, but her mind is on the other side of town.
Clearly it is if she's not answering the call. When he's calling, her mind and body is probably somewhere else with somebody else who has the money that you don't have anymore.
And do you have children together?
No.
Okay.
So you really don't have a bond other than that you're in love.
You're right, Zach. You're right. Mm. But you know what the thing is, Queen? When you try to help, and the ones you're helping keep trying to stab you in the back and create.
Heavy.
You know, I don't think she's stabbing you in your back because she's doing it right there in your face.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to let you go, Charles, but I think you may have shared a really critical point when you were talking about the ones you're trying to help, and maybe now it is time for you to look to helping yourself.
Self. Yeah. Very good.
And the place to find that is going to be 830 Ridge Road, Southeast D.C., this 6 p.m. And we have some representatives there who have actually been through some of these experiences that you've been through, who can actually aid you and help you, you know, and actually give you some guidance on the steps to take. So definitely a powerful program. Definitely be there this Friday, June 16th.
And introduce yourself to us when you arrive. We'll be looking for you.
Well, Charles, thank you so much. And good luck to you. I appreciate your phone call. I have a question, Queen. Did you know that you were abusing men at the time? And based on your experience, are there sets of women that know and then there are other sets of women that don't realize that they are being abusive?
That can happen to men and women abusers. Of course, you grow up in the household with it. You see things there, but you're not. You may be the victim of it, which it starts out that way. But then you end up, because you've been hurt one time after another, now you're saying, I'm going to fight back, you know. And so you become the abuser, using the aggressive behavior, you know, cussing, fighting, pushing, shoving. Now you're doing, because you're fighting to say, I want my sanity back. Like, I want the abuse to stop. Okay, but then there is the abuser who says, I know what I'm doing, you know, and I'm going to get to this person on an emotional level and a verbal level and coerce them to do what I want them to do. I was at that level because I no longer really have to put my hands on you. I can just control you from a verbal and emotional standpoint.
You were going to say, Marquette?
Yes, sir. What I was going to say also, you have to be mindful of the silent signs of this, because it easily escalates from the female who's comfortable with actually hitting to a female that's actually throwing a pot or a pan.
What do you mean the silent signs?
All right, the silent signs are when what she's talking about is when the gentleman is actually engaging with the young lady, and you know, she's talking, the female talks about her violent perspectives, and when her violent perspectives go on a rampage, Those are signs to be understood for. This is her perspective. You know, when you have certain conversations, when she interacts and she got the road rage, and the road rage goes over the top, and she's like, oh, no, but you're my baby. Hi. But then the road rage is, you're like, wow, oh, she almost got them, right? But this is your woman. This is your girl. It's comfort blank. But when you actually offend her, there are times where these signs that she was putting out there, I'm overly obsessive. I'm overly aggressive. I'm going to call you over the top. But you find comfort because she's with you. She's your, you know, she's your. But when she really actually puts this level of aggression to you, how do you respond to that? And that's where it's like so sensitive, because the smallest young lady can be a weapon. When she feels volatile, she may have to pick up a pot, pick up a pan, pick up something that she feels close to. And then if she's one of those females who really sensitive and timid, she may actually try to put something in a drink. She may actually wait for you to be asleep. You know, and these are some of the things that these young gentlemen go through, and these are the perspectives from females who don't really have that level of nurturing.
I mean, when men have got to stop thinking that they can help it, or because if they lay wood, you know, a sex night, my sex will help, you know, get rid of the physical abuse or help her control her attitude or whatever. Her attitude is still going to come back. Mm-hmm. The behavior is still going to show back up. Mm. It may suppress for a moment or two, but it's going to come back in, because this may have been something that she grew up in. Mm-hmm. You cannot, your sex can never break that cycle.
A week, 2 weeks of knowing someone, these are a lot of perspectives of our culture. You know, a week, 2 weeks, a month, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm shocked. No, no, my man, you know, think about 2 months when it's rough and, you know, it's not coming through. What could that, what could be her perspective? And these are the signs that we talk about on Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags, where you actually pay attention to some of these interactions because it's very social, it's very cordial, where you see the signs of healthy ways. Sometimes you, for us, we know how to kind of put the input. We're teaching the youth and we're teaching the people. Now, when you grow up, actually talk to the people you dated, get their perspectives, you know, understand a lot more long-term healthy strategies to help you sustain a relationship versus the overnight, you know, one here, bang, bang. Hey, I see you, bye, bye. It's nice. But when I see you and it's not cool, how is that going to be?
That's why the panel is so important, because mm-hmm. the panel is helping to break the stigmas and open the door and say, look, you need another perspective on men, you know, and men got to step up to the plate and say, look, this is happening to me. You know, verbal abuse is happening. It is verbal abuse. It's nothing that you're going to do to change what that female or what that male is doing to you, because it's happening in male and male relationships as well.
You got to go to sleep with it on your brain.
Well, I think that's a good way to end this conversation. We want to remind our listeners that the fifth annual
yes.
Men Hurt 2 panel discussion is this Friday, June 16th, 8:30 Ridge Road in Southeast Washington. It is at the Ridge Road Community Center. Doors open at 6 o'clock. This isn't just an event for men.
No.
It's also for women as well. It's community wide. So certainly, I want to thank all of you. Queen Afi, always
good
to see you. Marquette Brown, thank
you
for coming in. And Clarence, thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate
it.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, June 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.